Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com. Hey, everybody, it's Dave Caddy, the Food Dude, back on the Food Dude and Friends with my co-host, Julie Porter Scott.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good, actually. I wish that we were going to be concentrating on better news for this episode. We've got some sad news to cover this episode. Not very exciting, but we'll get some good insights in today.
For sure.
Yeah. So let's just start out. We've had some closings to announce. We've got some closings to announce. We lost the Grill on the Hill down in Capitol Hill. Happy Plate Concepts shut it down last Tuesday. They're actually trying to sell the business. Mm-hmm. They're hoping that somebody will step up and take it off their hands to keep it going. But you know, Grill on the Hill has been around for more than 20 years, I believe, and you know, big hangout for a lot of people.
Yeah, mainstay, really.
Yeah. South Oklahoma City is in mourning, but there's hope. So don't lose hope yet, South Oklahoma City. You guys step up, find an investor. We also lost, we've lost Eastside Pizza House, you know?
JB.
Yeah. I mean, what can you say? It was a ambitious project and a really cool place with some really cool pizza, but alas, the people did not show.
And really good pizza.
Yeah. Actually, yeah.
I mean, really wonderful pizza.
Yeah.
They were doing such great work. I think mm-hmm. if it had been, and it's kind of the hard thing about that part of town.
Yep.
I think for places like that to work, you really have to have a committed group of upper middle class mm-hmm. folks coming in and spending money.
That's right.
And if that doesn't happen, then you really don't, you can't necessarily support a place like that.
Yeah.
In that part of town,
yeah,
by relying only on the people that live right there.
That's right.
It's because they can't go out for pizza a lot.
It's a lower income area, and so it's going to be more of a challenge for sure. So you just basically need citywide support.
Yeah,
you know, like you get up the street at Florence's. You go to Florence's. There's people from all over Oklahoma at Florence's.
For sure.
And I'm not saying that you know that Eastside has earned what Florence's has earned, but nevertheless, Florence's supports Eastside, and right. Florence's knows that that's good for their neighborhood to have a place like that flourish, and it's been a challenge for the whole Pivot project over there.
Absolutely, I mean, same thing happened with Spiked,
yeah,
which also was such a cool concept.
Yeah,
Brittany's concept over there, mm-hmm. and again, if people aren't coming from all over,
that's right.
to support and to put money into that part of town, mm-hmm. into that part of the economy, then it just can't survive.
Exactly.
Right now.
Yeah, exactly. And we do have examples where it's worked, like the Plaza District, mm-hmm. and even Uptown 23rd. I mean, when you look at Uptown, it's hard to remember that the Tower Theater was blighted not that long ago.
Yeah.
You know, and the Plaza, holy cow, the Plaza was just basically a speed bump for a while. And it makes you wonder, you know, Eastside, that project, I mean, What does this mean for Capitol Hill as they try to improve their surroundings and to redevelop that area?
But Capitol Hill, right? Like you mentioned, Tower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you have an anchor
That's
like
right.
the Yale Theater,
That's right.
bringing people from all over, you know, the metro area.
Yep.
And then if they will spend some money around the mm-hmm. Yale while they're there, mm-hmm. then I think that could work.
Yep.
Just like you saw with the Tower.
Yep.
I think the sad thing for me is that if Eastside Pizza mm-hmm. were almost anywhere on the north side, northwest side,
yeah.
It would have survived based on the strength of the pizza alone.
That's probably true.
And I think that's a really hard truth to get around
yeah.
when you're trying to make a difference in your, you know, very specific part of the community. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? Mm-hmm. I feel for JB, as yep. you know, he's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And you know, we love Eastside.
Yeah.
But did we go often enough? Did I load my family up often enough to go and eat that wonderful pizza? I didn't.
Yeah.
And I think there are so many of us who can say
yeah.
that.
Rob Christinger and I dropped in for Pizza Bout about 6 weeks ago, and maybe longer than that. And we were really surprised at the fact that there was literally no one in there. at noon, and we were there for about an hour and a half, and one young lady and her little brother swung by for a slice and left in that entire time we were there.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful day. There was no reason. I mean, it was just there. The foot traffic there was not what you need to survive, certainly not at lunch. And like you say, it comes down to people from all over the city will end up having to support a place like that in order for it to survive long term.
Or certainly for it to survive long enough.
Yeah.
For the community around it.
To build that foot, like a Florence's. Yeah, yeah, like to build its reputation. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not the only thing that we're losing. The joinery is not closing, but they are reconcepting. And they're lopping off the top floors. The golf is gone. The event space upstairs is gone. They still have the main dining room and the downstairs secret hideout, the not-so-secret hideout,
right.
I guess.
but I had a sort of similar experience at the joinery not that long ago.
Yeah.
This was probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago. Mm-hmm. And their hours said that they were open.
Yeah.
We were looking for food after an event, which, yeah, as you know, in this town can be pretty hard to come
certainly,
by.
Certainly, yeah.
You don't always want to end up at Empire.
That's right.
And so we, you know, looked on our phones and we found Joinery.
Yeah.
And I had been there. Casey hadn't. I was like, oh, this is perfect. Mm-hmm. So we pay $10 to park. We walk in. It's still unlocked, but they wouldn't seat us.
Oh.
And I get it. You know, yeah, it was close
it's
enough
tough.
To closing
it's
time.
Tough.
And there was no one in there.
It's tough. It really
but,
is.
But yeah, like by the time you've like paid to park, mm-hmm, and you... Anyway, we ended up at Barcicchetti, as one does.
You find it, you find it.
You know,
yeah, you find your way.
That happens. I mean, I could have run in first, yeah, and made sure, yeah, they would serve, yeah, us before,
yeah,
we parked.
Yeah.
But the parking attendant looked at us like we were crazy as we pulled back out.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not good. Well, and I mean, at least in the joinery's case, we're glad to say that it's just a reconcept, that they're going to try and make this thing work. Not everyone is so lucky. Probably the biggest and most shocking news in the closing is the closing of Alma, okay? Which we'll come back to that because we're going to have Chef Zach Hutton come in and sit down and talk with us about it. But just off the top, that's obviously incredibly shocking.
Shocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just can't believe it.
Yeah.
And I'm so appreciative that he is willing to come and talk to us.
Yeah.
And hopefully shed some light, mm-hmm, on... You know, all the different things that I'm sure transpired to make that happen.
Sure, sure.
But just a wild ride for them.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really unfortunate one for the city, really. I mean, it's one of those, had an opportunity to build, it's a reputation strengthener opportunity, really. So, you know, I think people will be interested to hear what Zach has to say about it. I don't want to end on that note, though, because it's not all bad news.
It's not.
You know, Tamashii, our friends at Tamashii.
We love Tamashii.
Love Tamashii. Started downtown, added in Edmond, and now Norman. Norman is now officially open. We know, yeah, Dennis Spielman would be very excited,
yeah,
about
our
that.
Our producer Dennis is over the moon to get his very own
Tamashii. I actually just had lunch there this week with Ben Crudell, and had a wonderful time there at the Edmond store. So congratulations, Norman. You have some ramen to check out.
Even more ramen.
Even more. Speaking of checking things out, though, we have some chefs who have been getting checked out by the nation recently. You guys might have noticed a new show on Food Network called Last Bite Hotel. Have you been watching this?
I have.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Our very own Chef Kevin Lee is I don't know if he's starring, but he's been a star so far. And I love that the host for this is Titus Burgess. I mean,
what's not to love?
Really fun stuff. And I have it on good authority that this will not be the last time we see Kevin Lee on TV in the next 6 to 8 months. He has been busy filming other stuff that he can't quite talk about yet. Quite amazing. And want to let people know that Jonathan Stranger, Chef Jonathan Stranger, yes, One Hospitality, the previously mentioned Barcicchetti, and... the soon-to-return Osteria and El Coyote owner. He has been on Feral on the Outdoor Network once already, but he's going to be on again on the 21st. That is Yi Vong is the host of that show. And folks who do the Madeira dinners may remember Yi Vong. He did a special dinner. He's the Hmong tribe, mm-hmm. and they did a special dinner at Madeira last year. So yeah, Jonathan's now going to be cozying up to him. So you've been checking out all the, what's up with all of our folks on TV?
Well, you know, star power, baby. They've got it.
It takes talent.
They've got it.
It takes talent. It takes talent. Well, like I said, we're going to, speaking of television, one of the people who's done really well for us at Oklahoma City is Zach Hutton. And that's part of the reason we were so excited about Alma opening is the fact that, you know, Zach not only is a previous James Beard Award nominee, but just last year, or was that earlier this year? It was earlier this year. He went on Chopped and brought home the 10K and did Oklahoma really proud. So reckon we ought to just have that interview and talk to Zach, right?
Well, and you know, all good things are going to come Zach's way.
That's right. That's
so
right.
I'm excited to just
too much talent
hear about this chapter
and what's next.
And hear what's next.
Yeah. Enjoy. Zach Hutton, welcome.
How you been?
I've been good. I'm so sorry that you're under these circumstances, that you're here to talk about the closing of Alma. Tell us all about it. I mean, it was a really exciting and ambitious project. What went wrong? Well, I know a couple things went wrong.
It was like fate was working against you. It's never just one thing. We had a lot of things hit us very early on. We built it up, did the best we can. Obviously, when you're in this industry, especially from a creative standpoint, you have to deal with investors and the people that are above you, even if you don't always agree with them.
That's right.
And so I just felt like I wasn't able to lead creatively. I wasn't able to take as much care in something that I felt like I built more than I didn't. So I decided to just make my leave, and the company decided that they would rather close it down than not have me there, I guess.
So you left and it closed, is basically the deal. Well, we're all really sorry to hear all this. I mean, I had at least three meals there, and they were all fantastic. So,
you
know, and it was a really, really exciting and had a lot of potential.
Yeah, I believe so too.
Yeah,
but you know, things, they come and go. That's the way this restaurant industry is. We've seen so many go in the last 2 years, even.
We were rattling. Even right now, you know, we're still dealing with some of the post-pandemic issues. Some of the issues that were maybe presented for some places before the pandemic that are only now coming to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, inflation itself is one of the biggest killers for the restaurant industry because we've had consistent increases that don't get seen, and so we have to push it, and now people understand that it's expensive to go out to eat. So why would you? But we can't complain to the public.
No, you
for
can't.
That.
No, you're not in the service industry for sure.
No.
And don't you think that probably affects too, like that inflation actually has a trickle-down effect on the service in a weird way? Because maybe you can't hire where it's already hard to hire people already. And if you can't pay them, if you don't have as much money to pay, then that's fewer people you can even hire.
Yeah, and then that's the catch-22, because the less people you can afford to have in your building, the worse the service goes, the slower it gets. So when you do get busy, you create bad experiences, and then it's this cyclical like downhill battle. And we're all trying to get away from that. So finding that middle ground between how do we make it appropriate for the crowd that we want, how do we fill this hole in the market for fine dining, for this, for that, and not make it unattainable for our masses.
Exactly, because I know you in particular are dedicated to a very specific, not super specific, but a specific style, which is you're trying to bring a little rural Oklahoma onto a fine dining plate.
Yeah,
you know, and so that's a little bit of a, it's not a broad approach, right? And so that can have extra challenges, but you should be able to do this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there has been a renaissance in the farm-to-table movement, if you will. I think Oklahoma, out of most states, we have such a wide agricultural base that there's no reason we shouldn't be doing this as restaurants in the first place. But we have a lot of things in place now, like the Oklahoma City Food Hub, which can get restaurants directly in touch with these farms. They get a delivery every week. You know, it's basically Cisco for local, and pricing is comparable without delivery fees and stuff. So it is getting easier, but the market hasn't tipped back towards us with the paper goods and all of these other things that people don't even think about. Chemicals. I mean, it costs $500 to $1,000 a month just to run our dish machine. You know, that's insane.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly. And then that's not even counting when you do have a thunderstorm come through and blow out your lights and kill all your product and stuff like that.
Guaranteed. There's no fallback.
Yeah. It's a tough one. So what's next?
Next, we are doing as much as we can. The mission stays the same always. I always focus on Oklahoma first. And I think that the next move, well, I know that the next move is going to be at the Ice House in Edmond. We're opening a kind of oaky tapas, I think is the way we're going with it. It's going to be more snacky, more come and enjoy and sit with your friends, your family. Yeah. We're also going to have, it'll be a venue as well. So upwards of 200 people. Live music.
Yeah, that's great. For that space, that sounds perfect. Because it is, I was there over the weekend and picking up some fried tacos. Shout out fried tacos. Did a great job.
Yeah.
Speaking of making your own chips and doing things from scratch, they do a lot of that. But anyway, to get in there, I had to dodge a few kids out in the little fun little play area out there, which I thought was great in this case. Because it is, it's not just one place. There's a number of places in here. Right?
Yeah, it's a like common space. And it's so it really isn't going to be inviting as well, too.
Like heck, I could see you dropping off for some tapas and then going by for a taco and slice
go
at
see
the wood. Yeah. They got the good Detroit style pizza there.
Oh, yeah.
Woodward Pizza. So, yeah. Shout out to that. Now, what's your ETA on all this?
We're hoping to open by November 1st.
Okay.
For there, there's several more concepts we're working as well with the company.
Sweet.
I think we're going to try to, not a restaurant group necessarily, we just want to be consulting and just trying to make food cool and approachable.
Well, that's awesome. And I'd be remiss not to ask about Kayla, your lovely bride.
She's doing wonderful. She's currently at home taking a nap, I believe, which is very rare for
us.
This is
the first time she has slept since Alma opened.
Oh, yeah. This is probably since Scratch opened, if you think about it. We haven't stopped running circles for this amount of time. We've been kind of going stir crazy, just sitting at the house, watching TV in the middle of the day on a Saturday is the wildest thing. It doesn't feel normal. Like, we're afraid to go out because traffic's bad. But it's a good, it is a good needed break, but we're definitely ready to kick off something new already. So
that's awesome, man. We'll recharge, take this time to recharge, and I know you will. I know you're not just sitting around, but you know, it's I'm sorry that this played out the way that it did, but I've told you before, I think the world of you and your talent, and you've done Oklahoma very proud.
Thank you.
On numerous occasions, and we are certain you'll do it again.
Oh yeah, that's always in the back of my mind, is what more can I do? But it doesn't have to be for me. I think we're doing this for us, right? We're highlighting our stories, but these aren't just our stories. They're our collective.
It is. It's a collective story, and that's kind of what makes it beautiful, right?
Absolutely.
All right, man.
Love it.
Thanks for coming out.
No, thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
The Food Dude and Friends is produced in partnership with KOSU Radio. Food Dude and Friends is brought to you by Visit OKC, inviting you to experience the energy, excitement, and welcoming spirit of Oklahoma City. Learn more at visitokc.com.